right, all right. Miami Vineyard, how y'all doing today? You guys, y'all could do better than that. Like you guys are actually excited to be here on Memorial Day weekend. Miami Vineyard, how y'all doing today? Okay, good. Just wanted to make sure I was the only one excited to be here. Welcome to those of you that are joining in online. Appreciate you guys being here right now in person or online. Y'all could have been so many other places this weekend. You could have been in the Keys, on the beach, but you're here. And some of y'all are like, I kind of wish I was on the Keys and the beach. It's okay. You can be real. And if you're joining us online and you're actually in the Keys on the beach watching this right now, you're winning at life. You're beating all of us. So guys, we're in the middle of a series called Familia. And if you're not from Miami, you don't know Spanish, that's family. If you're a fan of Lilo and Stitch, it's Ohana. Any Lilo and any Disney fans in here? A few Disney fans. Okay, cool. So we're in the middle of a series called Familia. We're in week three today. Week one, we talked about just the power of a family. And we talked about what it looks like to have a healthy family, to serve together as a family. And we kind of gave each other the blueprint of what a family could look like in the kingdom of God. In week two, last week, Pastor Kevin shared on going the distance with your spouse. Because how many of you know that you've been married for like longer than a week? You know that you need some tools and some resources. You need a little something. You need a little bit of God to go the distance with your spouse. Anybody that's married longer than a week, say amen. Okay. Just want to make sure I'm not the only one, right? All right. So we're in week three today. And so we're going to talk about being secure in singleness. Being secure in singleness. Now, if you're married here, you didn't choose the wrong weekend to come. It's okay. We got something for everybody today. We're going to talk a lot about our identity and stuff, but I want to talk to the singles in the house as well. Any singles in the house? You can be proud of it. Wave it high. Okay, cool. And if you're single and you're starting to look around, you're scouting to see who else is single, that's okay too. It's okay. I found my wife at church, so it's all good. Guys, but there's kind of a mixed bag, right, with like the perception of singleness in our society and in our church. And there's some pros and cons to singleness, right? Now, if you're married, just look straight at me. Don't think about the pros to singleness. Just look straight at me. Don't look to the side. Don't look around. But there are some pros and cons to singleness. So now, maybe a con to singleness is like, you know, like you're not married, like you don't have somebody like, you know, to snuggle with at night, like when it gets cold and all that. But then on the other hand, you don't have somebody that's snoring like a hog and kicking you and they have a nightmare and stealing all your covers, right? Y'all remember that? My single people, remember just getting the whole bed to yourself. And so if you're single, a con may be like you don't have somebody to go like to date night with, you grab dinner with and stuff. But on the other hand, your bank account looks a little bit better and you don't have somebody who ordered a salad but is stealing all your fries. Can I get an amen? Anybody relate to that? Guys, so there's pros and cons to it, but I really feel like there's like a societal pressure on single people. And even sometimes in the church, I remember, so I used to be single. I'm married now. My wife is right here. Shout out to Christy. I'm married now. But I remember being single, guys. I remember being in church, being single. And people ask me, like, oh, like, you're married? You got kids? I'm like, no, like, I'm single. And they'd be like, oh, huh. Well, that's okay. I was like, did I just tell you that my dog died? I just said I was single. What's wrong with you? Like people in the church, we just have like this weird way. And in society, we just have like this weird perception of being singleness. And this happens in social media too. So anybody a fan of memes, like those little images that like kind of you could relate to because it's so real. I got a few memes of singleness. I scrolled through some things. I found some memes on singleness. So here's the first one. It's these two little kids kissing. Right? Which I gotta find out who their parents are because this is a little inappropriate. But so they're kissing, they're doing the thing, and there's this kid who's like, I'm just like eating my feelings, a little upset, doing my thing. It's relatable, right? It's relatable. The next one is like this perfect Instagram picture, like you're holding your hand on the beach, it's so cute, and then I'm just like reaching for the fridge, right? They all have to do, like singleness has to do a lot with eating. I don't know what these memes are about. And then also guys, Valentine's Day, anybody been single on Valentine's Day? I feel like I just heard an oh God, yes, for real. It's single awareness day for Valentine's Day, right? Like you're painfully aware if you don't got a boo, that you don't got a boo on Valentine's Day. And you make all the justifications, right? You're like, well, it's a man-made holiday. Like it's not even real. It's like, yeah, well, I just said all that because I didn't have a boo on Valentine's Day. So I got some Valentine's Day memes real quick. This is, any plans for Valentine's Day? Your coworker asks you. I'll be in my bedroom making no noise, pretending that I don't exist. That's relatable for us on Valentine's Day. Next one, we got another one. This is an actual traffic stop sign. Check this out. No Valentine, your seatbelt will hold you. Oh my gosh. I just made the same face that the kid made. Like, oh, who did that? Why are we doing this? But that's how society treats single people, right? Like, that's kind of the perception of being single. It's like, oh, like, yikes, sorry. And the church, sometimes we do that too. But I want to talk to the single people in the house, and I want to offer you some encouragement. I want to offer you some tools and some steps that we can take to be secure in singleness, not insecure about singleness, but secure in singleness. And my married people, my people that are dating, my people that are engaged, this is going to be good for you too, because there's some things that we deal with in our singleness that we carry over into our marriage. Don't look at your spouse, but just look straight at me. There are some things in your singleness that if you don't work through them, if you don't make your peace with them, if you don't make it happen, like, you'll take that into your marriage. You'll take that into your marriage. And so today I want to talk to you from the book of Genesis, chapter 28. If you have a Bible, that's cool. If you don't have a Bible, all the verses are going to be on the screen anyway, so it's all good. We're going to look at a guy named Jacob, and he's single. He's a single guy named Jacob. He has a family, but he doesn't have a boo yet, and he's actually about to go off on this journey. He's about to go off on this journey to find himself a spouse. He's on the hunt. He's on the prowl. He's at that age. He's like, man, like, I want to find somebody. I want to settle down, find myself a girl, and start a family, start my life. So he's single. He's on the hunt. But just to give us a little bit of a backstory, because that might not be giving you the entire picture, right? Because yes, he's single. Yes, he's on the hunt for a boo. But he's got some stuff that has just happened to him right before we get into this passage that's kind of a little messed up, kind of a little shady and shaky. So I'll give you some context. So anybody know Abraham? Abraham, popular dude in the Bible. So this is the grandson of Abraham. So it was Abraham, he had a son named Isaac, and then Isaac had two sons named Esau and Jacob. They were twins. Esau was born first. And Esau and Jacob, man, they were always in sibling rivalry. They were always having beef with each other. And Jacob was just, he would do Esau dirty. Like, he would do all these different things. He was so manipulative, and he was so controlling, and he would craft these situations basically to screw over Esau. Constantly, time and time again, he was constantly doing things at Esau's expense. And so finally, he does this final thing. So his father, Isaac, is blind and is about to die. He's about to pass on. And so he's kind of like trying to tie up all his loose ends. He's trying to make it all happen. He's like writing his last will, right? So he's going to go to Esau, his oldest son, and he's going to give him this special, unique blessing, like this special thing that he's reserved just for Esau. In modern day, it's like he's writing a will and he's got some stuff reserved just for Esau. And so what does Jacob do? Jacob wants that stuff, right? So he goes in and he tricks his blind, dying dad. This is really messed up, right? He tricks his blind, dying dad into believing that he's Esau, and he tricks his father into giving him what he had reserved for Esau, his brother. And so then this whole thing goes down, and then Esau finds out about it. He's like, man, that is it. You tricked me and messed with me way too many times. I'm done with you. I'm coming for you. I'm coming to kill you. Like, he's not even coming to talk. He's like, I'm coming to kill you. And then his father is extremely shocked and disappointed and frustrated and upset with his son. And so his mom is trying to like keep the peace and says, hey, like, you need to get out of this house or else Esau's going to kill you. You need to get out of this house, go to my hometown, go this different way, find yourself a boo, start a family over there. You're not welcome here anymore. Essentially, is what's happening. So that's where we find ourselves. So Jacob isn't only single. He's not only on the hunt and on the prowl and on the look for a boo, for a spouse, but he's also got a whole bunch of stuff that he just left behind him that he's not trying to deal with at the moment. So here, that's where we find ourselves here in verse 10. Check it out. So we're going to start right here. It says, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. So he does this whole thing real quick. And we're going to have some notes. I got a stone real quick I want to show y'all. It's a stone. I'm super strong. I can just throw this stone all everywhere. It's super cool. So we got this stone, right? So Jacob is about, he just left his hometown. He's about to go to this other place. And so he travels. It's about a 500-mile trip. And so he goes a certain distance. And then all of a sudden, he gets really tired because, you know, they didn't have, like, cars. They didn't have planes. It's about from here to, like, Savannah, Georgia, for anybody who knows where Savannah, Georgia is. So it's like 500 miles. It's a long time. So after a while, he gets tired. So he finds this little stone. And he's like, oh. He was so tired that looked comfy. he was like, ooh, okay, is that stone Tempur-Pedic? Let's make it happen. So he gets down, lays down, and goes to sleep, right? So he's just chilling. He's going to sleep, trying to forget what had just happened in his life. Trying to think about, okay, like, if I can think about this boo, if I can find this boo, oh, it'll be good. I'll have a family. I won't have to deal with my old family. It'll be good. So he has this. And then while he's sleeping, he has this dream. And it's this dream of, like, this stairway to heaven. And we actually have a picture of it on the screen. Check it out. It would have looked something like that. So it's like this structure, and there's a stairway that goes all the way up to heaven. And then it says that the Lord is right there on top of it. Let's check out what it actually says here. I'm going to start in verse 10 real quick. By the way, if you guys need it, we have message notes. We have message notes. They're on the app. If you want to actually follow along, because we're going to have some fill in the blanks. We're going to have some things. So I want to encourage you to actually grab these message notes. They're on the Miami Vineyard app. If you don't have the Miami Vineyard app, hey, this is the greatest opportunity you can get to grab the Miami Vineyard app. If you're here in person, you can scan the QR code with your phone on these little seat backs. If you're online, the online host will show you how to be able to download the app. It's not just for the message notes, by the way. It's for everything to stay connected and updated on what's happening at the Miami Vineyard. That's my little plug for the app. All right, so verse 10, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. This is really cool. So in the midst of this like weird dream that he's having, never had this type of dream before, like then God starts to speak to him. So at first it's just like this image, and then God starts to speak to him. He says, there above it stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. Check that out. He didn't say like this. So just to kind of clue us in, this isn't Jacob's God yet. The Lord is not Jacob's God yet. He's like, hey, like, nice to meet you. I'm the Lord. I've been the God of your grandfather. I've been the God of your father, but you don't really know me too well yet. You didn't really pay attention when I told the stories about who I am. When your dad and your grandfather started telling you stories, like, you didn't really pay attention. Like, you went to kids' church, but you didn't really pay attention. You were just there for the candy and for the snacks and for your friends and stuff like that. But you weren't really that into it. You went to youth group, but you were really just there to find a boo, right? Because that's how it is sometimes in youth group. You were just there to be cool and hang out with your friends. Like, you didn't pay attention to this, but hey, allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is God. My name is God. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. This is really cool because this is the exact same promise that he had given to his grandfather, Abraham, and the exact same promise that he had given to his father, Isaac, and now it's coming down to him. And it's really interesting because It wasn't supposed to go to him. It's Esau. But for some reason, Jacob had been manipulating and controlling the whole situation. But God, it was as if God had already planned for Jacob to be in this position. And that's relatable for some of us because some of us are fighting and clamoring and manipulating situations and trying to get people to like us and trying to get significant others to like us when God has already given us the very thing that we're clamoring for and striving for and cheating for to make happen. I'm trying to tell you that you don't have to strive sometimes, that God actually does want to bless you. You don't have to fight to make it happen. God actually wants to do it if you would just let him. If you would just let him. If you would just let him. So God had already planned for this. And check this out. This is really encouraging because Jacob was not a stand-up guy. Like we just read, like Jacob did some really messed up things. And it's cool because God had given him promises outside of this. And this is encouraging for me because I don't know about y'all. So he's single and he didn't do it all right. If you're any single people, and maybe there's some single people here that, stepped on my rock, sorry. There are some single people here that got it all right. Maybe some of y'all got it all right. You went on the 2.5 mission trips per year. You never missed a weekend at church. You were tithing faithfully. You never went on those apps. You never talked to that person in the club. You did singleness perfectly. You were just waiting and praying for God, and then God showed up and brought you somebody. But for anybody of us that maybe didn't get it all right, maybe for some of us that didn't go down some of those roads, maybe for some of us that have some of that heartbreak, maybe for some of us that gave some people a chance and they hurt us and they really broke us and we made some mistakes along the way, this is really cool because God's promises weren't deleted by his deviance. Y'all catch that? Like, he still made some mistakes. He still messed it up. But God had some promises that echoed from eternity into the right now. And it was as if his mistakes could not hinder it. His past did not affect God's plan. his past and not affect God's plan. Yeah. And that's encouraging for me. I don't know if it's encouraging for you because I didn't get it all right in my singleness. I didn't do it perfectly in my singleness. And I have a hunch that not all of us got it right in our singleness. And God still wants to move. God still has plans for you. God still has promises for you. God still wants to bless you. God still wants to give you what you don't necessarily deserve. And so this is point one, if you're following along in those message notes. The secret to being secure in singleness, number one, is to remember God's promises for your life. Remember God's promises for your life. This is important, right? Because these are the same. So what the promises that we just looked at were the same promises that he had given his grandfather and his father. And he's got to remember these because this is a really important moment where he's about to have a dream. He doesn't have these dreams where God shows up every single night. So he's got to remember, like, it's about to get hard for him. He's about to go through some things that are coming up. He's about to deal with some issues and deal with some people where he's going to have to remember in his head, okay, God's made some promises to me. And for some of us, you maybe feel like God isn't present with you right now. You maybe feel like God's been a little absent. God's been a little MIA. God's been missing in your life. But what about the promises that he's given you in the past? What about the times that you read the Bible and God had a promise in there and you felt like that was for you? Like, we got to remember those things because what God speaks on the mountaintop, we got to remember it in the valley when we need him most. Y'all feel that? We got to remember it in the valley. Remember God's promises for your life. And this is really cool because in verse 15, so he made like these cosmic big promises to him that were like for his family and that they were going to go way past him. But then God actually starts to make some personal promises because God isn't just cosmic, he's personal as well. And so he says here, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Did y'all catch that little, it was like a little slip in that God did. God was slick right there. He put it like in the legalese, like the fine print. He said, I'll bring you back to this land. Now, if you're anything like me, like if I'm Jacob, I'm like, back? Why would I want to go back to this land? Like, why would I want to go back to this broken situation? You guys know the action movies where it's like James Bond or whatever, like, and they're just like walking away and there's like this huge explosion that just happens right behind them. And they're so cool. They're so collected. They're just walking around. And there's this huge explosion that happens right behind them. I don't believe that that's actually true. Like, if the explosion would just, it would burst your ears or something like that. But they just walk coolly. That's what happened with Jacob, right? This huge explosion just happened. His whole family's in tatters. Everything's all messed up. And he just, I'm just going to walk away coolly. I'm just going to go do on another thing. But that's the cool thing because God says, I'm going to bring you back there. I'm going to bring you back there. Because Jacob's issue isn't just the location, right? Jacob's issues are within him. Are within him. And for some of us, like you may be single or you may be married and you may think, man, if I could just find myself a new job, if you're single, like, man, if I could just find myself like a new person to be with, even if you're married, you may have had that temptation. Like, if I could just find somebody new, like somebody new that doesn't have like that particular like quirk or issue, or if I could just get this new house, if I could go to this new city, if I could get these new group of friends, if I could get this new thing, if I could move on to this other thing, then maybe it'll be better. It'll be better. But what's the constant variable in all of that? It's me. It's me. And I bring it all with me. I bring it all with me. If you're joining us online, I brought it with me. Because check it out. So he was walking away from this explosion, but he didn't realize he had some fire on his butt. Like he didn't realize that he actually had carried some of this thing that was going with him, and he was taking it wherever he went. And so what God is saying, I will bring you back to this land, is, hey, I want to heal these things. I want to give you some closure. I want to give you some redemption. I want to give you some healing thing. And this is really cool because you may have thought something different. You may have related to other people differently, but God reveals things about ourselves that are not too pretty to heal them. God reveals them to heal them. He's not revealing them in our lives to condemn us. I know your parents may have done it to condemn you or to make you feel bad or to make you feel like you're not enough. Your friends may have done that. They may have revealed some things into you. So we have all these like defense mechanisms, right? I got them too. But God reveals things that like reveals these issues in us because he wants to heal us, because he wants to redeem us. He says, I'm going to bring you back to this place so that you can actually have redemption in this place and you're not walking around with these scars. God wants to heal and he wants to redeem. So check it out, verse 16. So Jacob awoke from his sleep. So he had this dream, this whole thing with God. He woke from his sleep and he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. And I wasn't aware of it. So because he thought God was like a cell phone, right? Because at this time, it was a popular belief that gods were like territorial. So gods were part of certain areas. So he thought, oh, like the Lord, like that was just the God of like my dad's household. So like if I bounce up out of my dad's household, like the God's not with me. It's like when you take your cell phone to the Everglades and it stops working because you're past the cell service. He thought I went far enough so that the cell service of God like wasn't available anymore. He thought God was just a territorial God, but God showed up to him in the midst of where he was at, in the wilderness, in the darkness, in the loneliness, in the pain, in the regret. He thought God couldn't go there, but God said, I'm with you right here. And he's like, I wasn't even aware of it. He was afraid. He's a little nervous now. He's like, oh, this God's following me. He said, how awesome is this place? I'm in awe of this. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So early the next morning, Jacob took a little stone here. He had placed under his head and he set it up as a pillar. Like that. And he poured some oil on top of it. And he called the place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. So this is point number two real quick. It's worship in your weaknesses. To be secure in singleness, to be secure in who you are, worship in your weaknesses. So Bethel, it literally means the house of God. And this is really cool. This is a beautiful thing because they're not at a temple, right? Y'all caught that. Like they're not at a temple. They're not at a structure. But God said, hey, I am with you and I'm going to be with you. And he says, okay, cool. Then this is the house of God. So what is he talking about? He's talking about here. He's saying like, man, this is the house of God. This is the place where God actually wants to dwell. I didn't know it. I'm kind of nervous. I'm kind of afraid because if this God is who he says he is, man, I don't know if I really deserve this. I kind of got some issues and messed up. And I don't know if I really want him with me all the time. But if he's making these promises, then man, this is the house of God. And for some of us, we need to be aware of this because we think that the house of God is right here in this structure. We think the house of God is just these buildings with these walls, and then we leave, we go do our thing in the MIA, and it's just normal. Like, the house of God isn't there. But the house of God is not this structure. The house of God is here. God dwells here with us. He dwells here with us. And this is important, right? This is important because when you go back to your efficiency, when you go back to your one-bedroom apartment, when you go back to the room that you're renting out, you got to remember that that is the house of God. God is with you, that you don't have to just come here to worship God. You can worship God in the midst of the situation that you're in. You can worship God in the middle of your loneliness. You can worship God in the middle of your pain. You can worship God in the middle of your regret, of your shame, of everything that you're feeling in the moment, of everything, all the regret that you may have of the past and the frustrations of your future that aren't coming into reality. Yet you can worship God in that space. You don't have to ignore it to lift your hands and worship. I know some of us think, man, like, I can't lift my hands. I can't praise God because I got some issues in my life. That's the moment that you praise God. That's the moment that you worship God. That's the moment that you invite him into those places. Invite him into your addictions. Invite him into those spaces that you're most ashamed of because that's where God wants to dwell. That's where God wants to dwell. Worship in your weaknesses. In your weaknesses. And check it out, verse 20. So then Jacob just heard all this thing, did this oil stuff. Then he made a vow. So this kind of feels like a wedding, right? So God just made some promises to him. So God was standing here making some promises to him. And now Jacob's like, okay, cool. I'll follow suit maybe. Let's check it out. So he says, I'm going to make a vow. And he starts off with a condition. Fellas, if you're getting married, don't start your vows off with a condition, right? He says, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking, and he's stacking up the conditions, right? And will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house. So take that. He's like, okay, let me set the conditions, right? So if you're going to provide for everything I ever had, if you're going to feed me, if you're going to take care of me, and you're going to bring me back here safe and sound with no brother trying to kill me, okay, then you'll be my God because that's pretty much impossible. Then the Lord will be my God. He wasn't his God yet. He's like, then you'll be my God. And this stone I've set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Basically, he's saying like, if you do all that, then I'll worship you. Then I'll give you a tenth. Then I'll make you first place in my life if you are faithful to do that. And this is really cool because Jacob didn't get this right. But I want to encourage you, like, as we're secure in our singleness, the third point here is to believe that God can take care of you. Believe that God can actually take care of you. believe that God can fulfill the desires of your heart. Because guys, Hollywood messed us up, right? Disney done messed us up. They told us that we need somebody else to take care of us. And I want to comfort the ladies here in the house. Like you might have been taught by your parents or by society or by culture that you need a man that's going to take care of you. But guys, you guys already have a man that's going to take care of you, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And when that man fails you, when that man screws up, when that man messes things up, you need another man, not this dude that you're working with, but you need Jesus to come into that situation and to redeem and to restore the things so that you don't place all your hope on this fool, but you place your hope in Jesus. I'm the fool too, by the way. I act like a fool sometimes at the house. Like, you need Jesus to actually take care of you. My wife and I, we talk to some young adults once in a while, and we say things like, guys, if you don't have intimacy with Jesus, then the intimacy in your marriage isn't going to make a lot of sense. And it's going to be unhealthy because I need some space where I can have a personal relationship with God. And if my wife doesn't have a personal relationship with God, then it's going to cause a lot of friction. And we're going to depend on each other for all the wrong things. Last week, we talked about going the distance with your spouse, but it's true in your singleness. It says God first. God first. Pastor Kevin said that. God first, everything else second. Everything else second. And I got to confess that in my singleness, sometimes I idolize this idea of marriage. That I idolized this idea of a family. But it was in those moments where God started to show me, I'm all that you need. I heard it once to say, to welcome situations that remind us that Jesus is all we've ever had, he's all we have, and he's all we'll ever need. Welcome those situations, lean into those situations, because if you get married, if you find somebody, you're gonna need him anyways. You're gonna need him anyways. I used to pray this prayer once in a while. I say, when I was struggling with things and I was struggling with my doubts and my frustration, because I felt like God had given me vision to be a dad and to be a husband. And I was frustrated with God on the timeline. I was like, God, it's not racking up in the time that I wanted. And I would pray these prayers. I say, God, like, you created this desire within me. All the desires that you have are from God. Yeah, even the ugly ones. The root desire is from God. And so then I would pray, God, help me to fulfill this in the way you've designed it. Help me to fulfill this in the way you've designed it. And so, yes, he built you for relationships. You don't need a boo to have relationships. There are people around you right now. There are people in your home. There are people in your work. There are people in your neighborhood. There are people in your extended family that need you right now. And it would be a shame if we ignored them so that we could eventually find somebody. It would be a shame if we would forsake what God is doing in this moment right now, in the singleness, so that, okay, when I get married, then I'll start to fulfill my purpose. Guys, he's given you a purpose long before you ever say I do. Amen. He's given you a plan long before you ever said I do. And marriage is two whole people just coming together and saying, we're gonna do this together. But you could do it all by yourself. Y'all know that Jesus was single? Y'all know that Paul was single, who wrote most of the New Testament? You can fulfill the promises that God has given you outside of a romantic relationship. You can, and we need to, because people around you need you, and they need us to be secure in our singleness to carry out the purposes that God has given us. Would you pray with me? Let's just take a second to just be still and invite God's presence. God, we thank you for what you're doing in this place. Lord, I'm fully aware that if you don't show up right now, then this was just a waste of 30 minutes. This was just decent conversation, maybe some good thoughts. But if you don't show up, it's powerless. So God, we pray right now that you would show up. I thank you, God, for even how you've already been speaking to us individually. God, I thank you for the things that you've showed us and said to us that went far beyond anything that I said. God, give us faith to trust those things. I pray you would crowd out the distractions, crowd out the doubt, crowd out the voices in our head that continue to disqualify us and continue to tell us that we're not enough and continue to tell us that a relationship with you is secondary to a significant other. So, and just really quickly, if you would just extend your hands out, just in a place of surrender. It's not a magic trick. It's not if you do this, God will bless you more, but it's just for us personally to just put ourselves in a posture where we just surrender. And we're just honest with God, and we say things like, God, I have idolized marriage. I have idolized family. I've prioritized my own vision for how it's supposed to go and the timeline for how it's supposed to go, that I've missed out on the beauty of what's right in front of me. I've missed out on the beauty of what you have for me right now in this season. And God, I know that a lot of us are single for lots of different reasons, God, that some of us are still looking for a spouse. Some of us are widows and widowers. Some of us are divorced and separated. Some of us are coming out of abusive relationships and we're trying to find healing. God, you already know. You're not unaware. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just come and you would give each of us what we need right now. God, we welcome you into our dark places, into the things that we don't even want to tell other people, the things that we're not even allowing to admit to ourselves. God, come and meet us where we're at and remind us of who you are. And if you're in this space right now and you just feel like you've been distant from God, and you just feel like, man, I've been MIA from God. I've been missing. I've been running. I've been trying to work on this on my own. I've been trying to do all the stuff that society tells me I need to do to be better. And I've just been absent. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. This is where you get to just say, God, I'm back. Because he never left, right? He's always been right there. And so if that's you, I just want to give you an opportunity right now to say, God, I recommit myself to you. God, I left. But you're not holding it against me. You've got arms wide open, ready to receive me and to care for me and to bring me back like nothing ever happened. God, I recommit myself to you. I renew my vow to you. And you might be in this space and this is all brand new and you've never received Jesus and you've never made a decision to follow him. But something's just happening right now where God is meeting you right here. God's been pursuing you for all the days of your life. And now is the moment where you get to turn to him and say, I do. And so if that's you in this space and you want to commit your life to Jesus, that's all you need to say. It's not a magic trick. There's not a fancy thing that you got to say. Just say, Jesus, I commit my life to you. I thank you for being the gateway to heaven, for being the way that I can have access and intimacy with the Father. And I receive you and I commit to you. And help me to walk this out on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday. When it gets hard, when I'm not in this moment right now, help me to remember the promises you've given me. We thank you, Jesus, and we love you. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Pastor Kevin.
Thank you, Nick.